I'd like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about your attitude. Watch it. So we probably all had someone, either heard someone say it, or we've said it to somebody else, maybe our child or something, you better watch your attitude. And I think that it's imperative that we do watch our attitude. And sometimes we have to step back and realize that our attitude is something less than what it ought to be. Sometimes we can see our attitude displayed in our children. And a lot of times we will start correcting them for something they're doing and realize, well, all they're doing is acting out the attitude that I've been displaying. So, or the attitude that I have been inferring. And so, Lord, help us as we look into this little thought today. There's a phrase that I guess you could say it's a quote by a man that wrote a book by this title, Attitude is Everything. So it's a quote and a title of a book wrote by a man named Jeff Keller. I haven't read the book, and I'm not suggesting that you read it. I'm just telling you that there's a book out there with that title. And he uses this phrase, attitude is everything. I think it's a motivational book or something like that, but I don't know anything more about it than the name of the author. Attitude is everything. Is it? There's a lot. I think sometimes it depends from which perspective we're looking at it from. I feel like that individuals that appear to be more optimistic are more in tune with how attitude is a major factor. And those individuals that tend to be pessimistic, I think it's more difficult for them to see that some of the problems they're creating themselves because of an attitude. Their attitude. There is something, I know nothing about flying an airplane other than it's got wings and some of them have propellers, and that's about all I know about flying an airplane. But I do know that there's something they call attitude. And attitude has to do with whether the wings are level and whether the and how close to level or what angle the plane is as far as the fuselage or the main part of the airplane, whether it's tilted up in the front or down in the front, and all of that has to do with the attitude. So the attitude, somebody says the airplane had such and such attitude, it's the angle that it's flying at. Whether it's tilted to the left or the right or up or down in the front, that has to do with, that's about the extent of my knowledge. So many times as an airplane is coming in for a landing, that attitude becomes extremely important because you want the wheels to contact the runway at the right time or you got a crash on your hands. So I find that if my attitude is not right for the situation, let me back up and say this. It's my understanding that the attitude of approach to a runway is different depending on weather conditions. If you've got a crosswind or a tailwind or a headwind or whatever, the attitude that they approach the runway is a little different. But here again, I don't know what's different. I just know it's different. And many times the way we approach things in life, we have to have the correct attitude for that situation. So I want us to think about how we approach everyday life and how we approach difficult situations. You know, there's a time in our life to have a more of a controlling attitude. And there's a time in our lives, there's situations that demand that we not be have a controlling attitude. It's a time to have an attitude of submission. There's times of us being able to have an attitude of assertiveness, and sometimes there's the attitude of wanting to be taught and instructed. So I would just like for us to look at a man in the scripture that I believe we can pick up on their attitude. So I'd like to turn, all of my verses are from one book of the Bible. I'd like for us to look at the book of Job today and consider Job's attitude and others that are in the scripture here in this book of Job. I believe Job, I just want to make sure there's no misunderstanding, I believe Job was a real man. I believe the experiences are factual, and I believe that we have a lot to learn from Job. One of them was the attitude that he displayed. In the first chapter of Job, in the fifth verse, it says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually." And remember how many sons he had? Seven. And he had three daughters. And if we read the verse up above, in the fourth verse, it says, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them." So, seven sons, and it said that his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. So that sounds like they took turns. So every day of the week they had a feast. Does that sound like I've come to the right conclusion? So I don't know if Monday was Bob's day and Tuesday was James's day, and I don't know, but what I don't know what their names were, but seven sons, 7 days in a week, and they were feasting at somebody's house every day. All right? "And it was so," the fifth verse said, "when the days of their feasting were gone about," they were going on and on and on, I believe, in their feasting, "that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." He did this continually while they were continually feasting. You know what they were acting like? Pardon the expression, but they were acting like rich kids. Job was wealthy, and his sons had a lot of monetary and assets at their disposal, and they were using them. And I don't know how hard Job had worked. I feel like God had blessed his efforts, but it wasn't because he hasn't really worked. I believe Job had really applied himself to accumulate what he had. But I want us to pick up on something about Job's attitude. What was his attitude? It was an attitude of I want to try to deter judgment. It was a proactive attitude. It was a responsible attitude. He was concerned about their behavior because he smelled smoke. All right? You know, my mother used to say, and I've heard more than one older parent say this, you know, the time to really get to worrying about the children and wondering what's going on is when everything gets quiet. So if you got two or more children in the house and they get to where that you want them to just go play, you know, go get your toys out and just play. And all of a sudden it's like the parent realizes I haven't heard them in several minutes. So you consciously stop and you think and you listen. Do I hear any sounds? That's the time you need to go check on them. That's the time that you need to go look, because it might be that they have just decided to see if they could parachute out the upstairs window with a bed sheet. And you might walk in the room and they're standing on the windowsill. Just those kind of things can happen when they're quiet. Job knew if you feast every day for maybe weeks on end, you're probably going to do something that wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. All right? He didn't get to be wealthy because he was just lucky. I believe he applied himself. So his attitude was a one of concern. His attitude was one of being proactive. His attitude was one of I think I smell smoke. I think I smell something here. My children. He didn't command them to feast. This was something they come up with. It was something they had began to do in themselves, and he had an attitude of concern and compassion, and he went to try, Lord, if my children are doing something, you know, I really feel like, I don't know what Job understood, but I'm going to tell you, if my children are old enough to go feast and do something that's displeasing to the Lord today, they're all married and they're all out of the house. And if they choose to do something, I'm going to pray for them. But, you know, I can't hope to appease God for things that they might be doing that's not pleasing to Him. They are on their own with the Lord. They really are. So, but Job, his attitude was one of concern and compassion towards his children. Now I want to turn, maybe it's a page in your Bible, but it's down in the 20th verse of the first chapter. We know that what transpired between what I just read and now is that all of his possessions and all of his children had been taken away from him. Storms, thieves, something had taken all of his assets and his children away from him, the ones that he was concerned about. And we look here in verse 20, it says, after all of this had happened to him, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. How many of us would have been able to have the same attitude that Job had had? Right there. What was his attitude? Was his attitude meaningful? Is it important for us to understand what Job's attitude was? I believe it is. I believe that Job, when all of this happened, and it seemed like it was just rapid fire, one servant after another, one messenger after another came to him and said, this thing happened, this bad thing happened, this calamity, this just everything was ripped away, and it seemed like they were just almost lined up to tell him that. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I feel like it was in a very short period of time. And when we get hit with major speed bumps in our road, major disappointments, it's really difficult sometimes for us to maintain the right attitude. I could say, why is this happening to me? This is not right. This is not fair. Saddle up my camel. I'm going after these people. All of these kind of things could be an attitude that was different than Job had. But when he was faced with the most devastating news that a man could be given, this is what he said. He fell down and worshiped and said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." He knew he wasn't going to take anything out of this life. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I feel like that was a good attitude. I could have thought of many other things that Job could have said that would have been acceptable given the circumstances, right? Somebody come and violate your privacy. Somebody come and invade your house. You know, I told this story Wednesday night, I think it was, but bear with me. It was recently here. The boys were small. My wife was had observed, I guess. She thought there was somebody's down at our mailbox. Our mailbox was down at the end of the drive, probably, I don't know, 200-300 yards away. Our house was quite a ways off of the road, and it was clear sight to the mailbox. And she thought there was a backpack or something down there, and the person that was with it had disappeared. And she said, "I think we need to check things. Somebody might be prowling around the house." It was not dark, but it was dusk. And like I said, the boys were small, so I went out the back door, checked my car. There was nobody in the car, so I locked the door. I checked my truck, and nobody was in my truck, so I locked the truck. I hadn't had them locked before. I went to my little workshop, and I looked in there, and nobody was in there, so I locked the door. I don't even know if it had been locked before. So I went out and checked my little shed where the chickens were, and there was nobody in there with my chickens. And so I come back in the back door and locked the door, and I told her, "I don't know what you saw. I don't see nothing." And she said, "Well, there's a backpack or something down there by the mailbox." So I went to the front door, and our front door had these three little windows, you know, that's kind of in a diagonal pattern on the front door. And I'm tall enough I could see out at least the middle one, not the top one. So I went to the front door to look down there at the mailbox to see if there was something down there, because she said she saw something, all right? So I went to the door to look, and when I went to the glass, there was a man's face on the other side of the glass, and he was looking right at eye to eye looking at me. Well, I didn't care anything about a backpack at the mailbox at that point. And I don't even know to this day, he was tall enough that he was on the outside, probably standing down the porch, and he was looking in at me, and I was standing on the floor inside. So he's taller than me, right? But I don't know what made me or caused me to do this, but I just opened the door. I was going to see what his problem was. You know, he had my storm door open, and he was looking right inside. So I opened the door, and he didn't wait for me to say, "Hello, what can I help you with?" He just took a step and come in my house. So now, you know, I got a real good opportunity to display whatever attitude I had right then, just like Job did. Job was, he was hit right in the face with all of this disappointment. And yet, what did he do? He displayed a good attitude. Wouldn't you say that? So this fella come in, and And as he's stepping in the house, I didn't know if he was bringing a weapon in with him. I didn't know what was happening. And I'm thinking that here I've opened the door, I've cracked the door, and he put his foot in and just came, stepped right in my house. It wasn't like a blizzard outside or raining or anything. It was just, he was just coming in. And so I looked at him and I said, "You sit down right there." And there wasn't any chair there. There was just an old trunk. And I just stood right close to him. I said, "You just sit down right there." And about that, he did sit down. And so I got to ask him what he needed, and he told me his little story about how he was, I don't know, he had some distress in his life, and he was really a professional hobo is what he was. And we give him some food, and ended up the law enforcement come and picked him up and took him to the county line, but that's another story. And so I'm going to tell you, my attitude at that point was I took charge. I'm thinking all of my children and my wife's in here, and I don't want this to escalate. If this guy just steps in my house, the next thing he's going to want to do is do something I wouldn't want to happen. And I mean, I did not get very far away from him. He came in and sat down at the table, and we fed him some supper, and he put his piece of cake in his pocket. And anyway, I thought, "Lord, did I have the right attitude?" But listen, folks, we're going to have some times in our life when things develop and we don't have a chance to think about it. It's going to be the attitude of our heart that's coming out, that's going to be on display. And here Job was faced. Everything was going on. Did he have the right attitude as a parent to be concerned about the smoke that he smelled in his children's life? Yes, I believe that was the right attitude. He was concerned about it. He was being proactive. He was interceding for his family's sake with God. And then right in the midst of that, everything that he owned was stripped away from him. And he still had the right attitude. Let's go to Job, the second chapter. After he lost all of his possessions, he lost his health. And his wife had been there with him all along, right? She was there when the children got destroyed. She was there when all the assets left. And notice what her attitude was. Job 2 and 9. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Now, is that the attitude that we ought to have? I don't think so. I think we ought to have a different attitude than that. I think that she could have said, "My dear husband, I don't understand what's happening here, but I want you to know I'm with you. I'm supporting you. I believe in you. I know that you have, just think about, you were offering sacrifices for your children. I know that God knows who you are, and he's familiar with, I know that. The Lord's blessed us too much. And whatever comes, I'm going to be here with you." That's what the attitude I wish she would have had. But instead, she said, "I don't know what else could go wrong. Why don't you just curse God and die? Might as well just get it over with." What was going to happen to her? This was not in a day of women's lib or whatever else kind of social program to take care of her. If she didn't have a husband, she probably would have starved. So why didn't she get behind him? Why didn't she? She didn't have the right attitude. That's what was wrong. And if we're not careful, our attitude will really create a worse situation than we already got. It was bad enough to have everything taken away and your husband deathly sick. But did you really want him dead? Your attitude could have brought something even worse than illness and poverty. All right? Attitude of hopelessness. I remember one time, Anita's grandpa was blind after I came into the family. Actually, I think this happened before Anita and I got married, but he had asked me to, he had one of these little folding wood carpenter's rules. Probably find them in an antique shop now. It was back before tape measures, but he'd asked me to take that and cut, take a hacksaw blade and cut every half inch mark on that little wooden ruler so he could feel of them, and then he would use that. He'd turn his table saw off, and he would use that to gauge where the fence was, and he was ripping, taking old used siding, wood siding, and he was ripping that with his table saw, and he made birdhouses. I want to tell you, he was inspirational in his desire to do something with his hands, and he was blind. And he made some pretty good-looking little birdhouses this way, but anyway, I had put the saw marks in his wooden tape or wooden ruler, and he was using his table saw, and one day, he got his finger in the table saw, and he had had his finger on the board and was pushing it, and he just got his finger close enough that his finger was up on edge, and the blade come up and just shaved the fingernail off, and he didn't, took the nail bed and all back about a knuckle or so, and of course, it was bleeding, and I remember getting the call about him getting a finger in his table saw, and his wife had said, "I think we're just going to have to cut it off." And I said, "Oh, don't do anything like that." I said, "Don't cut his finger off." I said, "I haven't even saw the thing yet." So I got up there, it was, I don't remember what time of day it was. I got up there after work and looked at it, and it was just, I mean, it didn't take a 16th of an inch off, just enough to cut your fingernail loose. It didn't cut into the bone. It didn't cut it. I didn't break nothing. It just shaved it off. So we cleaned it up, and his finger healed up. And I was like, that's the wrong attitude towards this injury. I mean, you didn't look at it close enough. You could have just, I don't know what come into her head that she thought, I'll just cut his finger off. Well, you know, it would have been a lot worse if they'd have decided to cut his finger off. Hopefully they wouldn't try to do that themselves. But anyway, you know, our attitude can take our bad situations and make them a lot worse. I mean, if I get my finger in the table saw, I want you to see if you can kind of patch it back together. I don't want you to just hack it off at the elbow. I mean, that would be worse, wouldn't it? But an attitude, well, there's no use trying. You know, that's a bad attitude. There's no use trying. Something disappointing happens, so immediately our attitude takes a disappointment and blows it into this huge apparition that fills our whole life. You know, somebody didn't wave at us, so because our attitude is suspicious, then we just build this huge air castle of hatred and vengeance and malice and all of that stuff. And really, they were probably distracted. In today's world, they were probably just got a text or something. You know, I don't know. And that's why they didn't wave at us when they met us on the road. But I'd like for us to go on a little further. In Job, the 23rd chapter, we'll notice what he said here. Job 23, and we'd like to begin in verse 1. He says, "Then Job answered and said," now this is after his friends and comforters had come, and they were trying to convince him, "Job, we don't care what your attitude is, something is bad wrong with you." You know, there's just so much that a person can hold up under if somebody is trying to convince you that you're doing something wrong. You just don't hold up against that forever. without God's help. It says, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. I'm discouraged. I'm distraught. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. It's hard for me to put one foot in front of another. I've had disappointments. I've got affliction. I've had rejection. My wife has got the attitude that I'm not needed. You know, how did that affect Job? You know, besides the calamity that it would have created for herself, her desire for him to just curse God and be gone, didn't he feel rejected by her? That attitude impacted him. So he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He's talking about finding God. That I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. I think this is something he had to repent of later on. But he was under a lot of pressure. And there's a little bit of distortion to that perfect attitude that we seen earlier. He said, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. Even though Job was at his, I'm going to say he was at his wit's end. It's bad enough to have one person say, why don't you just curse God and die and it be your wife. It's another thing to have three or four of your closest friends coming and saying, well, I don't know, Joe, but it sure looks suspicious. I mean, nothing like this has ever happened to anybody else that wasn't guilty. So you got to be guilty. Now, where is it? And day after day of that, you know, he was getting wore pretty thin. And verse 7 says, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. The one that has been my associate, the one that has been there for me and blessed me with wisdom and understanding and day-by-day counsel, I don't know where he's at now. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. Now this is genuine Job's attitude. He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, Lord help us to have that kind of attitude when we're in the midst of our discouraging times. Lord help me to have the attitude that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'm going to tell you, down deep, Job had an attitude of I want to be pleasing to the Lord. That's what motivated him to offer sacrifices for his children. That's what caused him to not succumb to the suggestion of cursing God and dying. That's what caused him to hang on by the skin of his teeth. That's in Job 2. Not chapter 2, but that also is what I mean. We all know now that Job ended up in a good position, right? We all understand that. I'd like to turn to Job, the 42nd chapter, and read a few verses there. I'd like to start in verse 12. It says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And on all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. That's better than any happy ever after, isn't it?
Yes.
I believe Job is a hallmark of having the right attitude. So I want to ask you, if Job had a different attitude, would the outcome have been different? You have to answer that yourself. If Job had had a different attitude about sacrificing for his children when he smelled smoke, if he had a different attitude when calamity happened, and instead of falling down and worshiping and saying, I got here without anything and I'm sure going to leave without anything, blessed be the name of the Lord. If he'd had a different attitude when his wife had said, why don't you just curse God and die? If he'd have just said, you know, that's the wisest thing of it. This is absurd that I'm being put in this place. You know, God is, where would it have ended? It wouldn't have had this ending. We know it wouldn't have had this ending if he had had a different attitude early on. But through the test and the pressure that was put on him by, even when Job came to the place, he realized that he had become self-righteous. And he had to ask God to forgive him for that. Did you know it was the attitude that made the change? It's going to be the attitude that we have that really helps us make the change. You know, the attitude that I have is the one that I choose to have. The Lord can, He will work with us. He will deal with us. He'll bring things in our life, but the attitude I choose to have is still going to be my attitude. I believe that Job is a person in the Scripture that ultimately had the right attitude, and that's how God was able to bless him and his latter end to be better than his beginning. And I don't know how these sons and daughters were. I wonder how many times as they were growing up, Job told them about what he'd went through. I wonder if they were more conscientious. I wonder if they acted like rich kids or not. I wonder if they had a different attitude towards possessions than the first family had. I have to feel like that they did. I have no evidence of that. But the thing that leads me to believe that is, says that Job saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. That means that there was some family bonds here. There was a family ties. And Lord, help me to have the right attitude. Well, I could see, if I lived that long, I could see my sons' sons to the 4th generation. And I believe if I have the wrong attitude, I won't see that even if I do live that long. I desire your prayers. I want to have the right attitude because my attitude is something that I have to watch. Maybe some of us have to watch it more than others, but we all have an attitude we have to watch because we can take a negative attitude and change our circumstances from bad to worse in a real quick moment. It doesn't take much effort to make a bad situation worse with a bad attitude. You pray for me.